World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, happy 319 2020 24 show number 2021. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Thanks for being in here with us. Got a lot of stuff on the table. One of the things that I think really kind of differentiates Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live, the Huddle, call it whatever you want to, is that we are a place of action. We're not ashamed that we're a place of action. And truthfully, in a lot of ways, we've been kind of cut off at the knees because we've been so, in the past, actively involved in the community, hurricane relief, tornado relief, all that stuff. And COVID, I don't know if you've noticed this, COVID basically paralyzed the world. You guys know that, right? It paralyzed the stinking world. And we're still, the church in particular, I've just stopped ranting a little bit before we got rolling here at the show. I said, you know, because we're trying to, I'm going to cover a couple of things with it. Bear with me today. Because of the efforts that we're getting ready to launch in over in Lakeview, Indian Lake, the tornado relief over there, I'm just finding the same thing I always find out is that the church is in no way, shape, or form prepared for calamity. I'm talking about the local church in your town. If a calamity were to break loose in your town, I want you to know this, that for the most part, the church and the pastors aren't going to be any good, aren't going to be of any use because we are not even thinking that way. To think that the church might be the central focus in all of the town where people would come for help in the middle of a calamity, that thought is absolutely gone. Look what happened during COVID. Look what happened. The churches shut down. Why did the churches shut down? Because they bowed their knee to government. They let government take it over. So what happens when a tornado hits in Ohio? Well, FEMA comes in. Samaritan's Purse comes in. The Red Cross comes in. The Salvation Army comes in. The local church, for the most part, vanishes. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Which comes back to the idea we have to ask ourselves, what the heck's the purpose of the local church? What is it really? And shouldn't the local church at the time of a calamity, folks, Christians are called to lay down their lives. It's what we're called to do. In the heat of the battle, in the midst of calamity, we should be the ones who dig in and remain. We shouldn't be the ones who flee. But that's the mentality that we have, right? We turn everything over to the government, get out of the way, let the big relief organizations come in. Now, look, I'm not criticizing the folks up in the Indian Lake region. This is America-wide. The local church is not prepared to take care of the community. It's the reality of it. So we got a couple things going on. We're going to talk about the natural family. We're going to talk about what's going on. Bear with me a little bit because I want to show you some stuff that we're dealing with. All right, hang in there with me. First of all, I want to the government, friends, whatever that is, whatever you call that beast, they are in the business of overwhelming us. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed it? Just about everyone. I was sitting up there talking to my wife this morning. And she started rattling off some things, and we are overwhelmed. Now, look, I'm not talking from a ministry standpoint. I'm talking about in our life. We're overwhelmed with things. The average person is overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. Their kids are a mess. Their job is shaky. Inflation is killing them. Their car won't run. Their house, you know what I'm saying, right? It's a chaos. Chaos, overwhelm, and it paralyzes all of us. And can I tell you the truth? The pastors aren't in any better shape. Their families are in disarray. Their children aren't serving the Lord. Their finances are tight. It's everywhere you look, and it's by design. It's by design, because who's the author of confusion? Who's the author of chaos? It's this enemy. It's Satan. And we still haven't figured it out. We still see our churches turn to government for help when government is the hammer that they're using to pound us all down. Government is, friends. Luciferian government. It's all about control. I'm going to try to get into some of that here this morning, although I guess I already have gotten into it. Pull up our email blast real quick there, Spencer, the ones you sent out yesterday so everybody can see it. Folks, I just ask you, share this with everybody. Would you share with everybody? And here's what our email blast yesterday said. Our fellow Buckeyes need our help. As many of you know, Past Assault Ministries is always on the front lines in disaster relief. Hurricane Katrina was the first relief effort that we did keep a boots on the ground team for 6 weeks. That was 2005, I believe. Since then, our efforts have taken us to Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and now our home state needs help. Now, friends, it's amazing, isn't it? In the last 3 years, we weren't able to go help anybody anywhere. Oh, no, we're too worried about COVID. We did make it down to Mayfield, Kentucky a couple of years ago, but other than that, we haven't done much. So we're organizing a team for this weekend, March 20 through 21 through 24, for efforts in Western Ohio. Tornadoes ravaged the Indian Lake area, and massive cleanup efforts are underway. And we do general cleanup, brush, trees, shingles, plywood. Many hands make light work. It's what we do. Then there's a video of the damage. This is a wonderful gospel opportunity. Heartbroken folk are always more open to the gospel, and we minister as we work. Folks, listen, Red Cross doesn't share the gospel. Salvation Army doesn't share the gospel. Franklin Graham tries to share the gospel, but not really. They're just feeding. They're just doing it. So what we're asking people to do, number one, if you can come, get a hold of us. We'd love to, as many of you as you can, come. And we may have set up other weekends to go down there. And donate. Come on, everybody give $10 even. $10 so we have working capital when we get there for things that might pop up, okay? So would you guys share this? Forward this to all your people. How about this? How about you go to your church on Sunday? I heard from Pastor Clint yesterday. God bless Pastor Clint. He says, Coach Dave, we want to get the money to you as quickly as we can. Do I do it on PayPal, whatever? I said, no, Pastor Clint, here's the best thing you can do, Pastor. Go to your congregation on Sunday and ask them to take up a donation, take up an offering. And I've said to you, those of you out there, go to your Bible study group. Go to your church and take up an offering and send it. Send it to help these people. We can share the gospel with them, for heaven's sakes. So that's an action step that you guys can do. And we have a lot of people. We're probably up to maybe 20 now. It's awesome, man. 20 people says, yeah, I'm coming, Coach. I can't come the whole time, but I'm coming for a day. I want to be part of it. For those of you who can make it, it will be a life-changing experience. And then those of you who can't, would you help fund what we're doing? And you can give at CoachDaveLive.com, donate. Now, I noticed this, Doug Hagman, the Hagman Report, has been around forever, massive audience. Doug Hagman made an appeal yesterday for donations. No, I've never heard him ever do that. What does that tell you, folks? People aren't giving. Why aren't people giving? Because I started out, we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed. Flat inflation skyrocketing. Everything. I get it, man. I get it. But ministries like the Hagman Report, if you got $10, throw it to Doug Hagman. Go online and throw him $10. Help fund what it is he's doing. Because those are the people, that's who they want to shut down. You ever notice government's never short on money? Government's never short on money. No. Just those who are doing the work of the ministry, but we're always short on money, right? No, I didn't mean that to sound that way, but it's the truth, right? We sell hats and t-shirts and try to fund what we're doing. I get it. But this is real. And that's part of the way that they're strangling off the gospel. Number one, they're sending you to Haiti, telling you to go to foreign missions, and they're clamping us down with chaos, overwhelming us. You can see it everywhere you look. Let me show you real quickly. Go to number one, Indian Lake Picks. JR, get ready. I'm going to come to you then. From the Columbus Dispatch, just scroll on down, and it's you can click and go to the next one. Go to the next picture. Keep on going down, I think. Keep going. There it is. Okay, folks, look, these are just pictures of what we're going into this weekend. Imagine this is you. And we'll just be doing relief help. We'll be cleaning up, brush, throwing stuff on burn piles and burning it. Huh? Jeez. It's devastating. Devastating. So if you want to go, get a hold of us. Say, Coach, I'd love to go, even if for a day. And if you can financially help us, we really, really would appreciate it. Okay. 75 pictures you show that are, I mean, they're heartbreaking. Really are. So if you were that guy right now, hang on, stop right there. If that was your house, if you were that guy right there, yes or no, would you be happy to see a carload of guys pull up with some chainsaws and stuff to help? That's what it's about. And listen, we share the gospel. We share the gospel. Red Cross doesn't do that. FEMA doesn't do that. That guy's heart would be wide open for the gospel. Everything he has, he's lost. I don't want to beat that dead horse. But we are in remarkable times, man. Remarkable times. That the enemy is doing everything he can crush. Regular people, regular folk. That's what's going on. Let me go to Glenn real quick, James, then I'm going to get JR in here. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I saw the email this morning for the request for help, Coach. Is there any way that can be put in the chat so we can text that out and get it out much quicker?
Is there a way to do that, Spence? He'll see what he can do. And listen, folks, those of you watching on the Patriot Party News, again, listen, when the show's over, all the links are at Coach Dave Live. Coach Dave Live. All the links are there, and you'll be able to find everything there. James Thomas. Come on, James.
Yeah, Coach, I would say there's probably 5-6 people in this huddle can give $100 today, maybe $1,000.
Easy.
So, you know, I put it out. I'll give $100.
Thanks, James.
Send it out and, you know, read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. That tells you about giving. You can't outgive God.
No,
it's
that's
just
right.
No way possible. So, you know, believe God from now to the end of the month that God is going to put $1,000, or you pick the number, and he's going to give it to you to give to this ministry.
Hey, James, God bless you, James. Here's a suggestion, folks. Like James has said, give $100 and then go to 10 of your friends and say, you know what? I gave $100. Could you give $10? Could you give me $10 and I'm going to send $100? Light hands, many hands make light work. Come on, friends. This is, you know, James, great idea, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate it. So we're getting excited and we're trying to get all organized. And I'm talking to several pastors. Mike Spalding's a help. And one of the problems we run into over there, see, folks, you can't just drive in there and help right now. They still got everything shut down because they're worried about looters and everything. So we'll make arrangements to get in there. Cool. All right. We're an action ministry here. You know that. And at the same time that this is going on, we're ambidextrous. We've got different things that are going on. And we're also trying to help JR and the Natural Family Foundation get geared up for Natural Family Month. I know JR and his crew, they've been working really, really hard. And so we want to talk a little bit about that, how we can help launch the Natural Family Month. Overcome, folks, Gay Pride Month, Eat Banana Month. They got all kinds of everything going on. And look, at some point, we're going to have to wake up and push back against these forces of darkness. And I said to somebody the other day, I know a lot of you don't like Donald Trump, and it isn't about Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you something. If they steal another election, America's done. You say, well, Coach Trump's part of it. He may be. He may be. But MAGA isn't. Those of us who are lining up behind him believe something good can still happen in this nation. And I can tell you this, if Biden wins again, they'll continue to lock up MAGA guys. Open up your eyes and see what's going on. The gulag in Washington, D.C. is full of MAGA guys. MAGA, not Trump. MAGA. MAGA, not Trump. Make America great again. We got all these excuses why we can't vote for him. Can't vote for him. Make America great again. That's what we're voting for. Not Trump. Not Trump. I'm voting for make America great again. Let's make the family great again. You're not even allowed to talk. Family ain't even welcome in the church. I'm sorry, in the school. Family isn't even welcome. Heck, the churches don't even teach family ministry. Let me stop here a second. It was the most unbelievable thing last night. And I'm not bragging, JR, not trying to make anybody feel bad. Our son Zach comes over yesterday with his two beautiful, beautiful beautiful little little daughters, our granddaughters. And my wife put up on the big TV some Christian children's Jesus Loves Me, this cartoons. And those two little monkeys, that's what I call my grandkids, sat on my lap and snuggled and snuggled and sang, although they can't sing. They can't sing. But it was in them. It was coming out of them. It's coming out of them. And to think, folks, for the most part, we're sending our kids into schools where they never even hear of Jesus, never even hear anything at all of Jesus, this most impressionable age. So the family is, so, the extended family is so important. And every time I get tired and Michelle gets tired, because I'm not bragging, JR, there are kids at my house all the time. I never get tired of it. I never get tired of it. And I was thinking back in my own head, I want all of you to think of it. What kind of deep memories do you have of your grandfather? Do you have any? I mean, my grandpa died. Grandpa died in 1967, maybe. I think it was 1967. At that point, I was, I mean, he'd been laying in bed. He lost grandma in 1963. I was 11 years old. And then grandpa dies a few years later. And I don't have any real memories of my grandma and grandpa. We'd go visit them once every month and down. I didn't know them. And the greatest thing about being a grandfather is you can teach your values to your grandchildren. Tells us that in Psalm 78. You teach it to your children or teach it to their children. But the intervention that Michelle and I can make in our own home with our own grandchildren. How about this one? How about this one, JR? I said to my daughter Abby yesterday, hey Abby, I want a David as my, that's our oldest grandson. David is 8. David would like to be baptized. I'm going to baptize David, and I'm going to baptize Reese. Is it okay with you if I do that? And they were in. Their grandpa baptizing it. Can you imagine that, friends? Their grandpa baptizing it. I'm going to do it soon. It gets warm enough that we can get in the water. But those of you out there who are grandparents, we have to take a more active role in what's going on. I mean, look, can I tell you the truth? For the most part, kids don't take advice from your parents. Our kids, the greatest mommy in the history of the world lives right here. She's right up here, the greatest mommy, grandma in the history of the world. And you know what? Sometimes our kids will not take her advice. I think, are you, what the heck? What is going on here? Why? Well, they don't honor their father and mother. They do, but, you know, Michelle, she's Christian, everything this, and prayer and that. You with me? You with me? That's what it's become. Rather than them, our grandchildren, rather than our children bringing our children sit to us and sitting them down at our knee and say, Grandpa, would you pray over David? Grandpa, would you pray over Annie? Grandpa, would you pray over Declan? Doesn't happen. Does that happen in your house? Does that happen at your house? No, it doesn't happen at your house. Because why? They've broken us off at the generations. And so Michelle and I get in a debate every once in a while. I said, well, we got to say something about this. She said, no, you know, it's their home and it's their children. Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But damn it, I got some experience at this thing. I made me a lot of mistakes, and I want to make sure they don't make them. And I want to help them do it the right way.
Amen.
Instead, no, send them off to school. Send them off to Sunday school. Dad, go home and watch the Buckeyes and the Browns and the Bengals and drink a few beers and send them off to somebody else to educate them. I'm all over the place, aren't I? Hey, friends, I think a lot of it is the paralysis of the pulpit. The paralysis of the pulpit. We take our people to church for the pastor to train them. Well, first of all, I don't even know really a whole lot about him. Well, some of them I do, right? I don't really know the inner workings of that guy's home. I don't know what's going on in there. And my kids are going to do what I say, not what the pastor says. I'm the patriarch. I'm the guy they look up to. And another thing, hang on, JR, I haven't forgot you. I believe this. I believe Psalm 91. Can you pull that up real quick, Spencer? Pull up Psalm 91. Michelle prays this regularly. I pray this regularly, too. Get that NIV out of there. Yeah, there we go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Okay, hang on. Understand this, folks. As long as I'm alive, I am the spiritual covering of my family. I am. Even though my son and my son-in-laws run their own households, I believe, according to the scriptures, that the covering of the father still extends over the children. And we, Michelle and I, pray this over our children. We say, Lord, they are under my covering, Lord. They're under my covering. And Lord, even though they may be walking outside of that covering sometimes, and maybe they be doing their own things, Lord, I ask you that you would take my covering and cover them, Lord. That you would do that. Psalm 78, that we would teach it to our children, who would teach it to their children, who would teach it to their children, a tag team handoff. And the mess that we are in is, for the most part, we as dads have turned the training of our children over to people in the public schools that we don't even know. That's the mess we're in. And it ain't going to be fixed all at once. It ain't going to be fixed. JR, I'm sorry to do this to you. Just before I bring you in, you'll have plenty of time. Bring up Mark Driscoll, number two. Now, I think Mark Driscoll's been watching the Coach Dave Live. Put him at 1.5 speed. Somebody give him a call and see if he's been listening to Coach Dave Live. Go ahead.
The Bible has nothing good to say about cowards. And what they're guilty of here, as many men are, is a sin of omission. There are two primary ways to sin. Commission, where you do the wrong thing. Omission, where you don't do the right thing. And a lot of men, our sin tends to fall in the pattern of our first father, Adam. It says when Satan showed up, he didn't say or do anything. He was passive. Passive men are a massive problem. I'll say it again. Passive men are a massive problem. That's why we say we build men up to bless women and children. And I just want to honor the men in this church. I'm not a flatterer. But as he honored those men, I want to honor our men. Our biggest ministry at this church is men's. Young men are getting activated. Young men are reading their Bible. Young men are praying. Young men are looking forward to getting married and loving their wives and leading their families and entering into this world with courage to say and do that which is right. And I'm just telling you, until the men change, nothing changes. But once the men start worshiping, everything starts changing. You show me a room filled with guys who have got beards and raise their hands and surrender to Jesus, but will put up a good fight to everyone else. And I'm telling you, that's the hope of the future right there. It's those guys. Those are the men here. Let me just go a level further. Here's what the Bible says about cowards. And we live in a day that is just filled with cowards. Just filled with cowards. Don't want to say anything. Don't want to offend anybody. Don't have any conflict. Don't want to get in trouble. You know, just make sure that I have the easiest life possible. Don't want to do hard things. Here's what Jesus says later. He condemns them here, and he does the same in Revelation 21, 7 and 8, where Jesus is talking about who gets to heaven. Jesus is like, here's the people that aren't going to make it. He says, the one who conquers, those are the courageous, they fight through their fear. I will be his God and he will be my son. Men, you can't be a son of God unless you're courageous and a conqueror. You've got to get through your addiction. You got to get through your fear. You got to get through your insecurity. You got to get through your pride to get to his calling. And then he goes on, he says, but as for the first word, cowardly, cowardly, cowardly. It goes on to say, the faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Jesus is like, you know what? There is a gate in heaven. Jesus is the gate. You can't get into that walled, forever, eternal home of heaven unless you pass through Jesus Christ, the gate. And if he sees a coward, he's like, we don't have cowards here. There's no coward section in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Cowards are not welcome in the kingdom of God. And he goes on to talk about what happens if you're a coward? He says, you are more likely to be faithless, detestable, murder, taking human life, including unborn, sexually immoral, living, sleeping with someone you are not married to, sorcerers, demonic spirituality, but not the Holy Spirit, idolaters, worshiping someone or something other than God, and then wanting to argue about it. And he calls it all liars. You've got to check your heart. I've got to check my heart. We've got to check our heart. Am I willing to be courageous, say and do what is right, or am I a coward trying to find the path of least resistance? Cowards never get blessed, but the courageous do. Howdy, Pastor Mark here. Thanks for viewing.
Huh? Cowards never get blessed, but the courageous do. Do something courageous today, will you? If the church doesn't rise up with courage, no, they hate us, man. They hate us. James, one more time. Come on in. JR, get ready. Coming to you. James, your hand is still up. Not okay. Fine. Okay, so JR's been working for, JR has a heart for the family. He's been working really hard with the National Family Foundation, Natural Family Foundation. And he's trying to come up with Natural Family Month. Can you imagine that in local schools? They say, well, coach, that would be kind of discriminatory, wouldn't it? Not everybody has a natural family. Well, not everybody has a homo family either, right? What are you talking about? Huh? And so to begin to honor again from Mother's Day to Father's Day, or Father's Day is a mother, whichever way it goes, Natural Family Month. He's got a plan, and I'm going to let him kind of walk us through that now. Come on in, JR.
Thank you, Coach. By the way, we need to learn more to leave it to the professionals. Okay, when it comes to Indian Lake, just let the every time there's an issue in society, where is the government? And we need more of it.
Yeah, that's and true.
You were talking about taking care of your 10 grandchildren. You should leave that to professionals. Now, it's only going to cost you about $1,000 a month. So that's $10,000 a month. That's over $100,000 a year. But it's going to be done right. When it comes to foster care, leave it to the professionals, right? Adoption, leave it to the professionals. Do you see where we are as
education, JR? Education, right? A bunch of professionals down the road. Making all kinds of money, educating my children and things I don't even believe.
Food preparation, baptisms, leave that to the church. The church is the professional that will take care of that. Okay, so just stay out of it. Pop the kids out and we'll take care of them. All right, that's the current. It's just absolutely crazy, crazy. 4 years ago in Delaware City, Ohio,
Delaware, folks, is just north of Columbus. Delaware, for a while, was the fastest growing county in America. Yep. I don't know if it still is or not. Very yuppie. Very, very yuppie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had a gay pride celebration the first month. That was 4 years ago. 3 years ago, we went before city council. And we said, hey, consider this. Consider a celebration of the family as designed by God. One man, one woman, lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship. Consider celebrating that as versus celebrating the gay pride, the gays. And the city of Delaware did not know what to do. So they didn't do anything. But what we did, and I stumbled onto this, Coach. What we actually did was presenting a positive to the city council. And they're not used to that because Christians are complainers. We're the Mikeys. We complain about everything, don't we? We don't like this. We don't like that. This put the city council members, the LGBT community, in a very unique position because then they had to be the complainers. Yeah. And they did not know how to handle this. Now, I want you to think about this.
Long story short, though, JR, they wouldn't do it, right? They wouldn't do it.
Right. They wouldn't do it. No. They wouldn't do it. They did a legal workaround, and we're still working on that. But it doesn't make any difference. Coach, can you imagine if this in this nation, as a national celebration, we celebrated the natural family? Now, the natural family means that before you get married, you're not going to have already tried that car out or other cars as well. Okay, it's going to be the first time. And Coach, that first relationship that you have, that first intimate relationship, we all remember, and that's purposeful. And what would happen if we started respecting that? Well, we'd get rid of no-fault divorce, wouldn't we? I mean, that would go out the door. And what about abortion? Well, if we're celebrating a natural family month, one man, one woman, lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship with their children. So you're in the marriage and you're having children, you're going to have that child. What about crime? You mentioned a baptism, Coach. A father's job is to be the leader. Ephesians 5 is to be the leader in that family. Yes. It's God, Jesus Christ, man, woman, children. That is a vertical relationship. And that starts in the home. And you mentioned earlier, and the good pastor mentioned it, men need to take that leadership role. And look, if I had my choice, and I think most men are like this, I just want to have influence. I don't want the responsibility of leader. Amen. I just want to have the influence.
Amen.
Which is the position women are in. Okay. We want to take the woman's position. So anyway, we've laid it out. We've had a lot of good responses to this, and we really started pressing last year. We had the state of Oregon had a church that was celebrating this. The state of Ohio had several churches. Louisiana, Pastor Dale helped us out down there. We even had a guy in Buffalo, New York that was celebrating it. And in Pennsylvania, we had somebody. We're trying to get every state in the union to start this move. Again, keep in mind, if we had a national celebration, you know, we have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, and the family gets together. If we had from Mother's Day to Father's Day, and those are bookends, the first week we celebrated mothers, we did special events, maybe dinners, taking mom out. You can think of all the things we can do. The second week you have children, you celebrate the children. The third week you celebrate grandparents. And the there you go. And the fourth week is extended family week. And then it ends, the other bookend is Father's Day. And if we started thinking in those terms, I mentioned childcare and education, but we have a problem with our educational system. Homeschooling, are you kidding me? That's the answer to it. Yet we're spending money to get other people indoctrinated. So anyway, this year I'm going, man, what am I going to do? And you had a meeting. I forget what, you know, when you had the meeting, Coach, when I met Neil, what that meeting was?
No.
Okay. Well,
I mean, there was a meeting, but I don't remember which one it was.
Okay. It was a month or two ago. And, you called me up and said, Neil wants to talk to you about the Natural Family Month. I'm going, okay.
And Neil's in where? Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I started to sit down and I met Neil and I talked to him, and I want to bring Neil on. And Neil can finish this conversation, because what he and his wife have done is just absolutely incredible. Go ahead and bring Neil on.
Well, his whole ministry has been dealing with broken homes, right, Neil?
Yep. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah. Good morning. My wife and Mary and I, for the last 20 years, have been not so much dealing with broken homes. Yeah, we get a lot of homes where there's a lot of problems, a lot of concerns, but it's enriching marriages to keep them going before they get, you know, we're changing oil on the engine. We're not putting piston rods and bearings in, is what we're doing. So we're trying to keep the family strong, is what we're trying to do. So I was at Coach's the end of January for his men's gathering, and Coach called JR for me, and I said, JR, you got a couple of them signs. And he goes, how many? I says, well, 50. And he goes, oh my goodness. So anyway, ended up meeting with JR over at Sky High over there. Started talking a little bit. Well, Mary and I are kind of a little bit of a go-getters. We like to get things done. So I have a friend that owns a sign company, and I went and talked to him, and he loves the Lord. And him and his group designed this sign. It's based on JR's original sign. And I told him about it, and I know JR had told me his price was $13, $14, or $15 for signs. The sign man just gave us an incredible, incredible price on these signs. So Mary and I had 50 of them made up, and I went and talked to my pastor, and our church is going to promote it. We actually get a table at our church on the first weekend in April, right after Easter. We'll be promoting it and giving it to people in our church. And I've had so many people already take signs, and people have committed to taking the signs when we bring them to church. And my pastor even hooked me up with a man who is in charge of the Hope Pregnancy Center in our area, and didn't know that, but he's very involved with the Wisconsin Family Council, which is a lobbying group down in Madison, which is always fighting for godly and God-honoring Christian activities, whether it be homeschooling. If you folks remember, a couple of years ago on Mother's Day, they were firebombed, and it was just incredible. Anyway, we got hooked up with them. So a couple of Mondays ago, Mary and I went to the Republican meeting, which I don't have a lot of faith in politics. My faith is in the Lord, but I was welcome there, and we went and dropped some signs off, and they're going to push them. And also this man that connected me, or my man that the pastor connected me with, is going to be presented to the Wisconsin Family Council. So we've got a pretty good push going on already. We have another church that's going to be working on it, and that's just in our area. So Mary and I thought, if we just focus on this 5-weekend period, we're not, I don't feel we're offending anybody. I mean, people celebrate the Green Bay Packers, people celebrate the Cincinnati Bengals. We're celebrating our lifestyle. And yeah, if someone is going to get mad about it, we'll do like our dear brother in Christ, Jamie Walden, says, suck it up, buttercup.
That's right. They're bigots and haters and homophobes, right? They're family phobes. Right. Family phobes, that's what they are. Make that word up, Chair. Let's use that one. You're a family phobe.
Mary and I, we end up having another round of science meetup. We're also going to be at Rob Pugh's We Won't Back Down event the second week in April. Rob is gracious enough to give us a table there, or a booth, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to be promoting this. And he has also been so gracious to give us some time up on stage to promote this. And that'll be a wider view. But mine and Mary's goal is to just get our area, get our focus on the people that we know, the people that we deal with. And if we can get 100, 200, 300 signs dotted throughout our area where we live, it's going to raise awareness. I said the worst possible thing that would happen, we'd have to have a semi-load with 200,000 signs on it. Okay, that's a good problem to have. But we just want to get started and get people aware of it. I believe JR and Liberty Mel last year started on it. I believe they were a little bit too late in April, and that just ate on me all year. I said, man, that is such an awesome idea. And Mary and I talked, and we worked on it, and then I knew when I would meet JR, we were really going to get this going. So that's what Mary and I are doing. And JR, would you care for me to talk about how to get signs for the people in the queue or anybody listening?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, these signs withstand, these signs cost the individual $6.50 each. I mean, if you've ever shopped for signs, that is an incredible price. And what we're doing is we're grouping them up and asking that when you order the signs, that you order at least, was it 15 of them?
30
of them, which would be roughly a little over $200, a little under $200. Now, this is plus shipping, folks, and plus a stand. This is incredible. And, Coach, your goal for this year and next year is to find me just 49 more Neils, okay? And this is over with.
Listen, let me address that a second, because I think it's really, really important. Friends, here's what I've had conversations with JR. I'm not trying to tell JR what to do. Folks, we need to find one city council that will do this.
Yeah, yeah.
One city council somewhere. To try to take the broad approach, we're not going to win that way. But taking the broad approach, maybe we'll find somebody who will do it, right? So you think about where you are in your small town, whatever it would be. If your town would declare celebrating Natural Family Month from Mother's Day to Father's Day, if your little town would say, we're going to do that, that would light a spark that I think would spread into other towns. Now, it's not going to happen all at once this year, but this is certainly a great start and an opportunity for the church to fight back. Go ahead, Jim.
And I'll nail complete with in terms of how to get the signs. But what this means is that if you can get a town mayor, he doesn't need the approval of council. A town mayor needs to declare a celebration. They're just declaring a celebration. They don't have to support it or anything else. Just declare a celebration from Mother's Day through Father's Day. That's all they need to do is make that declaration.
That's a month. Is that right, JR?
Well, 5 weeks.
It's 5 weeks.
It's a month, yeah. That's how the LGBT community does this. They know that it doesn't cost city council anything. All they have to do is speak the words, and that they'll take care of the signs and everything like that. But just saying that we're going to celebrate this, and I've got a couple cities that I'm talking with that I'm very encouraged about, but just getting that first one. And by the way, the state of Idaho is doing a very similar thing. They call it a traditional family celebration. It's gone through their house. It's sitting in the Senate right now. But it says traditional family, but it describes the natural family, one biologically born woman, man, et cetera. The same description that we have.
So, JR, why is traditional not a good word to use?
Well, traditional can be changed. If you look at nuclear, that's been changed to include the LGBTQ. Modern family is self. I mean, look at the modern family. That's anything. We talk divorce. Traditional can be changed. It is vulnerable. And like they did with nuclear, they could do the same thing with traditional. Natural is invulnerable. It's self-defining. You can't change it. You see it every day. It takes a man and a woman to make a child. I mean, that everybody knows that. Gravity works. Everybody Amen. Knows that.
Amen.
Neil, how do we get those signs?
Okay. What Mary and I have worked out with our sign supplier is that the best possible price is if you order 30 signs. So this is what Mary and I are trying to provide a model for someone who would be interested. Order 30.
Let me stop you, Neil. Again, folks, go get 10 people to give you $20. Don't let it be a burden to you that you can't do it. Ask people to give you $20 to get these signs. Go ahead, Neil.
So the best possible price is an order of 30 signs minimum. With that, you get them. You get the signs, you get the stakes, and you get them shipped to your door, which is really, really nice. And what Mary and I are doing is we are asking people for a $10 pay it forward that so we can buy more signs. So I guess what we're going to do, what we worked out with the sign guy, not I guess, I know this is what Mary and I have worked out, that I'm going to give my email address. I don't know how to do that. Coach does, and I'm sure Spencer does. I'm going to give my email address out that if anybody would be interested in this, they would contact me and I would give them, I would tell them what the procedure is to get the signs. And it's a very quick turnaround. So the signs that we've ordered, we've gotten them in 3 days. But what we're going to do is going to set two deadlines. We're going to set April 1st and then I'll place an order. And then April 15th and we'll place another order. And April 19th, as many of you know here, I'm going to be in the hospital getting my leg put back together. So that's what we're going to do. So how would
Neil, the reality of it is we are celebrating Natural Family Month, whether the city council has acknowledged it or not. We're going to light a fire under them.
Yes, yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate our lifestyle. Excuse me. We're going to celebrate our lifestyle. That's our goal. Everybody else is celebrating their lifestyle. Let's celebrate our lifestyle. And that's what our goal. And that's what we're telling people. And just put the sign out in the yard from Mother's Day to Father's Day. Don't leave it out all year. People get numb to it. I see signs, you know, for foster parents and this and that. And after a while, you don't even recognize it. Put it out in your front yard for a year. For a month. Put it out Mother's Day. Take it down Father's Day. Put it back in the garage and stick it back out again next year. That's try and get that tradition or that repetition going. So that's pretty much where we're at. We're asking people, order 30 signs. Go into your sphere of influence. Go to your community. Go talk to people. And say, hey, would you want to put this sign in your yard? And just if you want to get, you could ask for a donation or a pay it forward. Would you consider giving $10, $20? Because we want to buy more signs and we want to hit more people in the neighborhood. That's what my wife and I are doing.
I just put Neil's email in the chat, 74blacktransamallneil@gmail.com. It's in the chat. So if you're interested in ordering it, it's in the chat. Hey, listen, I'm going to say that again. So for those of you who are not in the chat. It's all one word. It's not a word. 74 Black Trans Am. 74 Black Trans Am. I had a Black Trans Am. It was a 76. I loved it when I was a young, stupid guy. 74blacktransam@gmail.com. So that's for those of you who are not in the chat or not able to see the chat. Again, 74blacktransam@gmail.com.
Yeah, Coach, it's the number 74. It's the number 74.
The number 74. The number 74, blacktransam@gmail.com. And then we'll get going on it.
This is great, man.
Neil's in Wisconsin. What city in, Neil?
We're in Hatley, Wisconsin.
Hatley, Wisconsin. Good. I'm sorry, JR. Anybody got any questions? Go ahead and throw your hands up. We'll get you in there. Go ahead, JR. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I just got an email from one of our natural family members from Montana. It's an email that he sent to his pastor. Greetings, Pastor Paul. It's good to be in touch with you. My wife and I attend your church. We're involved in a Montana legislature. We saw how God was using the church to be light. We got help from Mr. J.R. Harrison and his colleagues to influence the legislature and found Mr. Harrison to be a committed Christian and dependable friend. If you've not been in touch already, he would like to work with the church to support a natural family month. And then he sent a link. That's what you can do individually.
That's right. Yeah, be Johnny Appleseed.
There you go.
Dan Borowski, come on in, Dan.
Yeah, I just was wondering where in Wisconsin, because I'm in Minnesota. Maybe I could just, I'd rather drive there. Is there anybody I could meet up with you, Neil? And just check out the signs?
Well, hey, Dan, do this, Dan. I put the email in the chat. Just an email with Neil. Maybe Neil's a truck driver. Well, are you driving right now, Neil? You go the other way.
No, I'm out of commission at least.
Yeah, you're out of commission for a while. Yeah, okay. But Dan, just contact him through that email.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. All right. Thoughts, folks. Thoughts. This could spread like wildfire. In other words, we're going to celebrate Natural Family Month, and we're going to force it from the ground up on them. That's what we're going to try to do, have these signs everywhere. People drive around and say, what's that? What's Natural Family Month? And then we'll get some town to bite on it, actually proclaim it Natural Family Month, and be off and running. Go ahead, JR.
Well, I thank you for the time. And Neil has been a blessing. I mean, Neil couldn't wait to talk to me. He got the information, like you said, around April of last year and didn't really have any lead time. But he and his wife have just been absolutely incredible. And I think there's been some blessings that Neil has gotten already from doing this. And maybe he could share a little bit of that with you. But it's you have no idea until you look. When you go to Indian Lake, or when you go to you went out to Oklahoma one time, when you go to places like this and you start doing things, and that's the key. Again, Christians, I think people by nature are complainers, and it's easy just to sit back. That's why Fox News is so good. They feed that negative. They keep feeding that negative to you. They don't have any solutions, but they keep feeding that negative to you. Once you go out and you do, you have no idea how much of a change that'll be for you. And if you want to do both these, I mean, go to Indian Lake and then do this as well. Double the blessings as far as I'm concerned.
So here's what you do, friends. You order 30 signs. How much, Neil, for 30 signs?
For 30 signs at the stands delivered to your house is $200.
So $200, you get 30 signs, and then you go to 30 of your friends and say, here you go, $10.
Yes.
Give me $10.
Yep.
We'll put this in sign because we want to order more signs. This is magic the way that it would work.
If you have a neighbor that it has that, maybe their gay celebration up, sticking that in the yard does have an effect on them. I know personally it does have an effect on them. And it is an answer. It's a positive answer. You're not complaining about anything. You're just saying, hey, what about this?
Amen. Yep. All right, JR, Neil. Kevin, thank you. We beat this horse about as much as we can. People get it. JR, I don't know if you're able to. Put your contact information in the chat. Do you now do that, JR?
If I can get to it. Hang on. It's jr@naturalfamilystrong.com.
Well.
Somehow I lost you. There it is. Okay. Yeah, I'll put it in there.
Just type it in the chat so people will have that. They can get a hold of you as well. Anybody, anything else for JR? Because I got something else I want to do. Nikki. Come on in. Nivikya.
It's Kevin J.
Kevin Jeezy.
Kevin J. Backwards.
What the heck is that name?
My goodness. It's my Google name. I don't know why that.
Google,
I didn't know how to.
You're gaggle, dude. What do you mean that's your Google? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's anyway. You were talking about courage a little bit ago, and I just wanted to mention that for some of the guys with courage to wear a shirt like what JR and I are wearing, my wife and I found that, you know, people get mad at just wearing this shirt. We were accused of hurting people's feelings and being haters.
Bigots, you bigots, you homophobes. Huh?
Yeah. So yep. Put the shirt on. Another thing I wanted to mention, I got all the guys at church last year. We were doing a Mother's Day dinner, and I got T-shirts for all the guys while they were serving dinner for the mothers at Mother's Day. So that was the kind of kickoff there, and I'm going to encourage the church to get the 30 signs or more. You know, we'll start with 30 and go from there, hand them out to the congregation, and hopefully the congregants will want to get more out for their neighbors. So I just wanted to throw that out on the table.
Okay, Neil, Pass the Salt wants 400 of them.
Whoa.
That's awesome, Coach. And one more thing I forgot to say, the sign maker so graciously is going to make us a big 5x10 banner. And we live on the main highway from Minneapolis to Green Bay, and we're going to stick it on the end of our land. So there'll be thousands of people every day seeing that sign. So that it's going to get some pretty good awareness if you're heading to Green Bay from Minneapolis.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Look, I ordered 400, folks, so you can come and get them from me. All right. Right. So you don't have to. Come on, I ain't going to put out 400 signs. Randy, come on in real quickly, and I got one more thing I want to get in.
Coach, this is too simple to miss. This is too simple, folks. Everybody ought to order 30. Come on, give up $200. I've got on my little house church, Coach, is about six families. We all get five apiece. It's over. It's done. That's they right. put That's them. Okay. They give them to their neighbors. They're in every yard. Coach, this is too simple, people. You got to jump on this. Come on.
Okay. It is simple. And Wes just asked, so if we can get one from you, a single one from you. Yeah, I'm gonna populate Ohio. That's what I'm going. JR's already do it, but I'm gonna have them, and you can order them from me, okay? And then we'll make arrangements of how to get them to you. Just I'll become a clearinghouse, I guess, as well. JR could do it. I suppose JR could do it. Whatever, we'll figure that out, okay? Cool. Neil, Kevin, JR, thanks. I want to smack
you. Sir.
I want to smack people in the mouth one more time. Now, let me apologize, folks. Here's the camera. I look up here a lot. Here's my monitor, okay? So I look up at my monitor so I can see people's faces and hands are up and all that stuff, because it bothers me when people don't look at me, okay? So that's why I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the monitor, okay? Bear with me. Pull, if you can, pull Doc Marquis up for me. Go to the 48-minute mark. And, folks, I told my wife today, I said, golly, next week's Holy Week. And then all of a sudden I stopped. So what's that? Holy Week? The heck's Holy Week? I began to do some research on it. Where'd that come from? How come we're celebrating Holy Week? Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and all week? Where's all that stuff? Well, so here's Doc Marquis, and I'm just going to show you a little bit. He's going to explain to you Easter. You ready? I hope we can get it in 10 minutes. Remember, this is from like 20 years ago. Doc is deceased. He was a member of the Illuminati. And we're going to try to play a little faster, but he doesn't speak real clearly sometimes. Go ahead. Easter.
A fertility goddess. What's going on? How did this bring about Easter? According to those legends, which are still found in the occult world today, after the first year when Semiramis had died, a giant multicolored egg had fallen out of heaven and landed in the Euphrates River. It washed ashore and landed in a pile of wicker reed. You've seen wicker furniture before, correct? We know how strong and durable that stuff can be. Out of this egg, Semiramis, in her reincarnated form as a spring goddess, broke out and would bless those followers of hers. Now, first of all, this is where you get the multicolored egg, the Easter egg from. This is also where you get the Easter basket from. And the reason you get the word Easter is because of the Babylonian. In the Babylonian Talmud, if you check on the name of Easter, it is properly spelled I-S-H-T-A-R. It got confused, a lot of people got this confused, with the Egyptian rendition of it. A lot of people thought it was Ishtar. But if you check the original transliteration, the Babylonian one, it is still pronounced Easter to this very day. That is just
goddess of the spring
for Semiramis, the moon goddess or the fertility goddess of the occult world. Now, how many people, be honest, have ever attended a sunrise service? Just raise your hand. If you've ever gone, of course we have. Why? Do you know there's nothing in the Bible to base that on? Scripture, whenever it talked about the dawn, the twilight, sunrise, sundown, the night, the dark, the light, the day, it was mentioned. God knows time. He knows when it's light and dark. He put it in the Bible. When you look at the book of John, and the apostle Peter ran to the sepulcher to check upon the body of Christ, it states, and while it was yet dark, not light, not a sunrise, it was dark out. The reason we're doing it, having these silly sunrise services, is because of the occult. You see, during those times in Babylon and Egypt, they wanted to welcome in the spring goddess, get her here as quick as possible. What they would do, they would go to the Temple of Babylon. The priest would actually have new white robes made for the welcoming in of their queen of heaven, their spring goddess. The priestesses would have these hats that actually looked like baby bonnets made for the ceremony, and they would all go to the temple. And it is for this reason why. Ladies, you are getting your Easter bonnets. And gentlemen, you're getting your brand new Easter suits. That's where that part of the belief came in. But the reason these people, what they were doing, they would go to the temple, they would hold this ceremony to welcome in the spring goddess. The reason they did it at sunrise is because once the ceremony was over, they could all disperse throughout the land. And whoever would find the new egg that fell out of heaven to where the spring goddess emerged out of, they would be the person who would receive that blessing from their goddess. That's why you have a sunrise service. Semiramis and Nimrod had a son, as I've told you before, named Temuz. Now, Temuz was nowhere near as good a hunter as his father, Nimrod, was, because when he was 40 years old, he was killed by a wild boar out on the hunt. Now, an interesting event was going on in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14, let me set this for you. God has taken Ezekiel, and he's showing him visions and different things, and taking him around. And at this particular point right now, this is what it states. This is what God is doing with Ezekiel. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Temuz. Temuz now, the son of Nimrod. The reason they were doing this, this ceremony, what they were involved in. Now remember, this is in the house of God himself now. These occultists were practicing a very ancient ritual. They would fast, they would weep, they would wail, they would give things up because their god Temuz was dead. And you know what? This is where you get Lent from. Lent is 40 days in totality. Those days represent 1 year for every year of Temuz's life. 40 days for 40 years. Are the people not weeping, wailing, they're fasting and giving things up on Lent? That's exactly what they were doing here. And yet, we think this is supposed to be part of a wonderful Christian thing that celebrates the resurrection of Christ. And you know why you have your traditional Easter ham? Occultically speaking, when you eat that Easter ham, you are symbolically killing that thing which killed the god Temuz. That's why it's an Easter ham. We have brought all these things into the church, and we think of them as harmless Christian holidays, and there's really nothing harmless about them. Now, if you remember, the goddess is coming back during this time of the year. She's known as the spring goddess. And this is a typical drawing of the spring goddess. You will notice that the sun is behind her because she is beginning to come into power. Notice how she's holding a cute little Easter bunny and all that. A cutesy little scene. But tell me, what does a bunny have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I mean, I would like this one person for once. I don't care if it's a theologian, a doctor who has his doctorate in divinity. I don't care who it is. Could someone in the Christian world explain the Easter Bunny to me? I can tell you how it came into the Christian world through the occult. North American Indians commonly used a totem pole and carved animal faces in it to depict various gods of their belief, correct? They were doing that back in Babylon. Where do you think they got it from? Remember, this stuff spread throughout the world. Eventually, it had to end up in North America. The oldest symbol to recognize the fertility goddess, that of Semiramis, is the bunny. The reason it is the bunny, because the bunny is the fastest procreating creature that we know of. That's why it was the Easter.
Wow, okay, you can cut it off. Put it in the chat, folks. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, right? And remember, told us in the book of Jude that we were to be aware that evil men would creep in unawares and teach I lost the scripture. Evil men sneak in. Thank you. Get it out there. Evil men would sneak in unaware and change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. That's Easter, baby. That's Lent. That's Holy Wednesday, Holy Week. All this is so hard for us to swallow, isn't it? It's the truth, man. That's the truth. You get time. Watch that thing from Doc Markey. Natural family strong. Let's help the people in Ohio recover. Action. That's what we're about here, Coach Dave Live. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.